This is RSVNB Update, episode 585, recorded Saturday, September 17th, 2016, RuneFest 2016. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update. Shane1288 here, as per usual. Sirion is away this week in the Netherlands, visiting family. So, as a result, we have Mr. Bistro here to anchor this year's RuneFest coverage with me.
Hello, all.
So, that time of the year, RuneFest again. Excited?
Yes.
Concerned? Sad?
Excited more than concerned.
Okay, good. Good. I'm happy to hear that. Because, you know, sometimes you hear things at RuneFest and you're like, oh, how's this going to go? But nonetheless, presentation this year, I think, has been grade A and really showing a different direction for the game next year, which I'm pleased about. But we'll get into that later and in our summary. So the way this is going to work for this episode, episode 585, is we're going to discuss the rest of 2016. The changes that the Combat Council are bringing in 2017, and also look ahead at the big reveals for 2017 moving forward.
Arguably the best part of RuneFest.
Yeah, so we're going to, you know, start off small, and then we're eventually going to grow large, and then we'll set the climax of this podcast to be something that I think many RS players will have wanted for a long, long time. So... let's get going then. So the rest of 2016, you know, this has been laid out before in documents, behind the scenes and videos almost every week running up to it. But first and foremost, staring at us next month in October is the ARC Part 2. This little feature, farming and divination of the main skills, more options for thieving. The five mini quests will tie into one another, and they won't be necessarily, you know, just standalone mini quests where you go there, do one thing, and you're done, and they don't really feel all that connected. They're also bringing in bird watching as a part of Hunter, and an ARC journal where you can track your progress in the ARC. So overall, basically... the second part of the arc, except with what we learned from the first part of the arc. I don't know if we had a chance to talk with you about what you thought of the arc, but how did you feel the arc went? And do you feel that the revised plan for arc part two is the way to do it and the way the first one should have came out?
Well, I was definitely excited for the Eastern Lands to like come around. The release wasn't as great as I remember saying it was last time we talked about it. But I'm pretty confident in what they plan to be doing with the second set. I think it will go a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, they outright acknowledged on stage, Mod Osborne acknowledged this, that we realized that when you guys came to the ARC the first time, the vast majority of what you were doing was, you know, spending your time grinding, getting bamboo, gumbo, all that kind of stuff, and, you know, building up to do the exploration, when what they intended was for the exploration to be the actual part of the ARC itself. Mm-hmm. And suffice to say, that will be featured heavily in ARC Part 2, that exploration will be what is focused on, you know, with a huge reduction in the cost of supplies, making it easier to get the currency as well, and making it so that you don't need to feel that you exhaust each island before you move on to the next one. And of course, that means that you can spend more time there and ultimately do more exploring as it would be rather than, you know, just, you know, plundering for resources and moving on. Interestingly enough, farming and divination will feature in ARC Part 2. I'm interested to see what they'll do with farming here because, you know, farming isn't necessarily something that gets many updates. And I think if they could bring out some method of training farming that, you know, might have been able to come into the game otherwise, but is enhanced by the Ark. I think that's all good thing as long as it stays within the core ethos of the farming skill. So I'm interested to see what happens with that. How about you? What are you most looking forward to in part two?
Well, I would have to say I'm really interested in the farming one as well. Like, there's so many different areas that you could kind of think that they could do. Just a whole bunch of different plants, maybe a substitute for trees when it comes to training over there. So I think that farming really needs this, and it's the perfect place for it.
Yeah, and you know, there's also going to be other options there for, you know, herb lore thieving and construction, which don't really feature in the first part of the arc, but I think being, you know, port skills could definitely be there in a minor capacity. So always interesting to see with that. Hunter, as well, we mentioned, impling-like creatures, bird watching, really great. So...
bird watching, I could care less about. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not playing.
Well,
a
let's
game
just
to
see.
Watch birds.
Let's just see how the implementation turns out. I think, because if you look at Hunter, it's one of the most stagnant skills in the game, and you have to ask what's the point of it. And we talked about this back in July with our skilling podcast. That okay, so Hunter in game, what's its point? So if this could give a reason to Hunter, then I would be very happy with that.
I don't know. I wish they would have gone in a direction of like tracking things a little bit more, you know, like being Aragorn from Lord of the Rings and just knowing all of these things and being able to track and build the scene from what happened before. I think that would be a much more compelling way of approaching Hunter over bird watching.
All right. Also in October, Bounty Hunter, which was pushed back from this month. So that should be interesting to see what we make of that.
I'm really excited for that one.
Yeah, well, you'll be on the show for that. Oh, did I just reveal our next co-host? Oops. Oh, well, no one really listens to this and no one really cares. But Mr. Bistro is the next co-host for RSV and B Update, everyone.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, that was a huge slip-up. I don't normally make mistakes like that.
Surprise!
Surprise, indeed. And for Halloween, we'll be returning to the Dimension of Disaster realm, looking at what invention would be like in RuneScape's dark reality. So I'm happy with that. You know, I think that's the perfect time to go back there. It sets the right mood. And I have always made the connection that the... Dimension and Disaster realm on RS is very much like the Star Trek Mirror Universe realm. You can do things there that you could never do in the real RuneScape world. So it's going to be really interesting to see what comes from that.
Yeah, I like the idea of Halloween being in the Dimension of Disaster as well. I think it's just perfectly fitting and could have story-driven results for an event.
Overall, I think the biggest thing for October, though, has to be the Ark and, you know, the fact that it's just being made a lot easier to get into and focusing on the exploration side. So I'm happy about that. And we'll have to give it another look when it comes about. All right. And then, of course, November, the rest of the year shaping up. November, everyone has been looking forward to Fate of the Gods 2, which they... drop the name of during this stream, and it's going to be called Children of Ma. They're also going to be coming out with a new feature in November called Bank Bidders, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But what did you think of the first Fate of the Gods quest?
I really liked it. It's really full of story. It kind of takes you to a new place, and I wasn't so sure I would be a fan of the World Gate, but it grew on me, and I'm really excited for where the story continues to go, and this name really excites me. It sounds like a perfect fitting name, probably involving a lot of Saren and
right
Zaros the other.
And you know, they kind of did allude to that, because one of the requirements is within the light for this quest. Mm-hmm. There was also some other things that they dropped during the stream. You know, of course, you're going to be visiting Frenisque, and you're going to be exploring the past lore of the Majorat and whatnot, but they did drop something that I don't know if it was too big of a spoiler to drop during the broadcast of this, but I guess we might as well say it since it's on stream. You're going to be able to watch the betrayal of Zamorak betraying Zaros.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Gain access to the throne room for that, and I don't know exactly how we're going to go back to that, because I know they said they did want to avoid time travel in quests, so it would probably be through a cutscene, but I think they also said during the stream that you might be able to interact with it in some way, so it'll be interesting to see
what's going to be making history part 3.
Oh boy. Yeah. Well, I mean, I enjoyed those quests, but still, nonetheless. I'm not sure if that kind of... if that was an appropriate thing to reveal on stream. I, you know, have a few reservations about that, but at the same time, it makes me look forward to the quest in a broader fashion, because if they can reveal this about the quest at a RuneFest stream, what else does that mean is going to be in the quest if they're obviously holding back on things, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, this quest is going to be huge.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also, of course, going to be huge in terms of requirements. I mean, practically every six age quest that you have done up here, including, you know, Dishonor Among Thieves, Fate of the God, and the Light Within, are going to be required. Recommended were Ritual of the Majorat and the World Wakes. So definitely honing in on all that past lore of Fate of the Gods. So that should be interesting to see what happens with that. But of course, the other update coming in November, as mentioned, is bank bidders. Now,
what are bank bidders, Shane?
Yeah, you know, I laughed when I saw this, because it's like an update that you would imagine being pitched as a comedic idea, right? But no, this is actually going to be arriving in-game in November. And what bank bidders is it's going to be a way of bidding your own GP on a chance at receiving the contents of previously banned accounts. So that means that if an account was banned in the past, you can kind of get a sense of what it's going to contain and then bid on it, though you won't know the full contents. That could contain everything from rares, including party hats, all the way down to, you know, resources and maybe nothing at all. So,
I don't know what to think about this. It seems so pointless. Like, who asked for that?
Well, here's the way it worked. This idea came straight from Mod Osborne.
Okay. Is it
he had
just
to convince his team to do it, but after pitching it, they got all around it, and that's how we got bank bidders from Mod Osborne. So, it's an update that comes straight from the top at Jagex, and with that being said, I think that there probably is some merit to it, and I think the biggest thing that we can take away from this is that it's going to be a huge GP sink.
I suppose.
Do you foresee yourself bidding on any accounts?
Yeah, I do. Even though I just, like, narked on it, I think it would be something I'd be interested in trying.
All right. See, my only concern with this is that it becomes almost too much like gambling, and mm-hmm. There's not enough of a warning for people who might want to try it and then unfortunately get sucked into it. So, I mean, as long as, you know, it is made clear that, okay, you're going to be taking a substantial chance on this, that you're going to be putting your own GP into this and you might get nothing from it, as long as that's made abundantly clear, then I am okay with it. They also said that they will be using this opportunity to give back content from these banned accounts for contests. So, for example, they might have some contest running on the website where you sign up, and if you win, you'll receive the content of a high-profile banned account that has some great stuff in it. So that's another way they're going to be doing this.
Hmm.
So I agree with you. It's definitely not something that you plan to see in RuneScape, but the fact it arrives and is coming from Maud Osborne kind of tells us that, okay, this is something that can be done and is great. So.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to be in the implementation. Then we finally get to December with Sliskay's endgame, the final quest in the God quest line that we've been working on all the way back since 2013, world events, numerous deaths, numerous quests. It's all going to be capped off in this huge quest that is going to have replayability in order to see the different outcomes. But what happens with you on your first playthrough is ultimately going to be what is canon in the game. Mm. So
that's cool.
And there is some stuff teased later on saying, oh, maybe Zaros won't survive this. You think they could kill Zaros off?
I don't know. I think that might be a stretch. I think everyone likes Zaros a little too much.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you really consider it, Zaros has kind of been the counterweight to Sliskay, so I don't think they would do that. But, I mean, anything is possible. Going to involve the Stone of Jazz, ending off Sliskay's game, and, of course, the gathering of all the gods. And what we did learn from the lore Q&A that we'll hear more about later is that Brassic Prime is pretty powerful, and who knows, he might end up featuring in this quest as well. So, I think this is really good that Jagex is putting this out at the end of the year, and it's capping off what has effectively been a huge arc of the RuneScape content line. And rather than, you know, waiting 10 years to complete Priftinus, yeah, I'm glad that this has only taken 3.5 years mm-hmm. to complete. So I think that's the way you want to do these kind of contained storylines. So it's going to be perhaps the best update of the year. We'll see if it can display Scour Quest for myself.
Ooh.
also in December, of course, is the Christmas event, and not too much information was revealed on that, but of course the main focus is on Sliskay's endgame. So that's what the rest of 2016 looks like. We'll have to see which one turns out to be our top update, but you ready to talk about some combat now?
I am.
All
Bring
right.
it on.
So the Combat Council had their talk relatively early in the day. One of the things they did is they first gave a recap of all the bosses and combat features released in 2016, you know, from God Wars Dungeon 2 to Telos and all the various combat changes that came into game, including the one this week that prevented the anti-walk mechanics and the changes to those bosses, so that was mentioned here. But looking forward, the Combat Council also revealed a number of combat updates and changes that are going to be coming in 2017, sorry. And the first one is they're going to be updating kill timers so that kill timers will now have high scores and seasons associated with them. So
I love it.
It's not going to be static. So if you had that, you know, great kill time on a certain boss, well, you're going to probably have to go rework for it and rework for it numerous times in 2017. So you're a fan of this?
Oh, yes. Particularly with the Queen Black Dragon. I always jumped out of my chair when I got a ridiculously good time.
Okay.
So I would love to compete for this and for it to be seasonal. That's
you think
awesome.
There will be a segment of the population that are concerned about this and don't want to change their record-setting kill time?
Yeah, I'm sure there's people out there, but I'd think that anyone that is going for those high times would really appreciate this.
All right. Also addressed in the Combat Council is modifying the entry point of combat at the lower levels through a low-level Slayer rework, making it more accessible to new players, making it not as daunting, which I think is a great thing because, you know, all too often we focus on the mid-range players, we focus on the maxed players, but there's nothing really done, you know, that is outright talked about that is benefiting the lower tiers of the game. So the fact that they are doing this, I think, makes for just a better quality of life for combat, given that, you know, we are, 4 years after the evolution of combat came out in 2012. So happy with that. Also, not just the lower end, but the high end as well will be reworked. The 2015 high-level Slayer creatures that were released last November will be rebalanced to enable more Netflix and kill. Apparently people don't like the one-hit KOs and how tough the Wyverns are. So a year later, you know, this content is practically dead content aside from the comp and lore requirements. So they are making the commitment to rebalance that.
And I like how they called it Netflix and kill.
Yeah. I got a chuckle out of that. And I mean, that's what they are effectively calling Slayer, I guess.
I think that's a little bit extreme, because when someone says Netflix and kill, that means you're watching Netflix and you just happen to be playing RuneScape.
Yes.
So how can these creatures be rebalanced to that point? I think that's a little extreme.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what they were designed to be when they first came out, was that they were going to be, you know, really high-level Slayer creatures, effectively mini-bosses, and I don't think the majority of the player base got that, and they're still not getting it through this regard. I mean, I got to a point with each of these creatures where I was able to stay for a prolonged trip of 20 to 25 minutes without needing to restock, which I think is respectable, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I can do it, someone who isn't sufficiently invested in combat, I think most everyone else there who is sufficiently invested in combat could have done this. But on the other page, I get how it's dead content and how it needs to be reworked so that it's, you know, fresh and we're not having these stale areas on the map that players aren't visiting. So, I mean, I see it from both ways, but I'm with you that I think Netflix and kill is probably a little bit too far on these high level Slayer creatures.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy the more difficult, Slayer tasks. Going and fighting rune dragons is always fun.
Oh, because, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some things can happen, that you don't expect. And, you know, it's just that little bit that makes you focus more. And I think that makes it the combat experience more enjoyable.
And you don't need to fully commit to a boss fight with these.
No, you don't.
And that's the difference between them.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how this pans out, but dead content has to be removed from the game, first and foremost. They also did manage to reveal that tier 99 is not the end of the combat tiers. So just because you have, you know, level 99 as the top for your attack skill doesn't mean that tier 99 will be the end. They said, for example, in 5 years' time, they fully expect everyone to be wielding tier 105 weapons.
Oh.
I know, that's going to be pretty substantial, right?
Oh my god, the power creep is just...
Yeah,
tense.
And that led into this next question. Why was Telos gear placed at tier 92? And they had an internal word for this, and that was the Telos problem. And the reason being for this is in big letters, big capital bold letters, NPCs suck, as in they're dumb. And if they put the gear at level 95, it just would have been far too powerful. So that's why they went for tier 92. And as a result of this, NPCs are going to level up in 2017. They're going to get more hit points, more armor, and there's actually going to be a reason for players to have higher tiers of weaponry other than just tier 92 from Telos. And as a result of this, they're also going to be rebalancing a good portion of the combat gear, the combat weapons in particular, to make it usable by more players so that if you get a drop from something like Telos or Nex at that ultra high level, it won't just be pigeonholed to that very high segment of the population who can purchase it. It's going to be usable by more people. So what that tells me, they didn't exactly go into it. This tells me that there's going to be some kind of scaling combat gear so that, for example, if you're, say, level 70, you might still be able to slip on that pair of level 80 or 85 armor.
Hmm.
And have it for a reduced effectiveness, but still be able to purchase it from the people who are killing it at Nex, which I think makes sense, because if it's completely static like it is now, then, I mean, where's the fun in that? We can't go any further than tier 92, and everyone's going to level up. So,
really interesting.
Yeah.
It's also a little bit scary when you said that NPCs are going to get more hit points. I'm like, this sounds like the Constitution effect. I really hope that it's not, because that was not well received.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that they will definitely be mindful of that, because going forward, they need to focus on quality of life of combat and ensuring that what we put into game in 2016 is still going to be viable in 2018 and 2020. And I think by adding more HP to these creatures and rebalancing the weapons, this is their chance to get right what is currently wrong with the evolution of combat. I've felt for the longest time since Evolution of Combat came out that player gear is far too powerful and players are far too powerful for this. Especially, you know, with how you can practically AFK Slayer in the game. So as a result of that, you're right, we don't want to push people away. But at the same time, hearing Jagex admit that player gear is far too powerful is a good thing. It proves we're on the right track. So, but yeah, I mean, we'll just have to take it and see. But hopefully the Talus problem will be fixed.
Okay.
Shattered Worlds, which was supposed to come out this summer, has been pushed back to 2017. And I can say from looking at the concept art, looking at the explanation they provide during this stream, it was a great thing that it was indeed pushed back. This is the combat that is the procedurally generated combat fight. It's continuous. You have a selection of mutators that will influence the way the boss fights happen, and they're going to be using this to provide a combat experience for all levels, meaning that, you know, let's just say you're getting started, you might be able to go in there with your, you know, your tier 50 armor and still have the same kind of adrenaline-filled experience that someone who is running tier 92 weapons would get. So as a result of that, it's going to be fully scalable for all levels of the player base. And then what's more is they're going to be bringing numerous seasons to it. So there will be seasonal high scores, and that will be rewarded with seasonal weaponry for players. So, you know, it's not just, you know, a static thing that gets put into the game like Dominion Tower. It's going to grow and evolve just like everything else does in game, which I think is really great.
Yeah, when I saw this one, it really looked like Dominion Tower, but I think this is a much better way about going about doing this.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, when you first look at it, and if you're thinking parallels, this is definitely kind of like Dominion Tower, but this is what Dominion Tower would have been if it was released in 2016 and wasn't limited to only quest monsters, because quest monsters are relatively static, but this will have all NPCs that currently exist in the game that are Slayer-based primarily. So, should be really interesting to see how this pans out.
Yeah.
Also in 2017, a new Slayer dungeon will be announced and brought into the game in the second half of the year. It will focus on a reward chest at the center of the dungeon. You'll get your rewards after the task is complete, and the chest will be upgradable based on how long you spend in the dungeon, and everything in the dungeon will fall under one Slayer task. So it's basically a rework of how Slayer works, so that, okay, I don't need to go around and pick up every little drop that I get along the way. I can just go there, kill things, and effectively move through this dungeon, and then at the end I get this reward, and lo and behold, I'll get some pretty good stuff from it. And the more you do this, the better the rewards will be. And I must say so myself that this is how I think a modern-day Slayer skill would be envisioned, rather than, you know, just going to kill X amount of NPCs in a certain area, which is great. It's got that traditionalist feeling to it. But if you were looking at RS in 2016 and saying, okay, so how can we send the players off to kill something, this is how you would do it.
Yeah, I like this. It's like Pyramid Plunder for Slayer.
Exactly. That's the best way of looking at it. And you know, I really think that this update with the guidance of Jagex has the potential to revitalize a skill that has become so AFK centric, because I cannot count the number of times on one hand where I hear people that say, oh, I'm going to go AFK Slayer. And my reaction is just like, okay. Given that, you know, with Slayer and the Evolution of Combat in 2016, it should be a dynamic and fluid experience. All right, so after the new Slayer dungeon, we have the new solo boss coming in 2017. What do you think about this? It, you know, obviously is taking into feedback that was received regarding Telos. Players love their single solo boss encounters. You think we need another one of these?
Well, I think we need them for the sake of the game staying fresh. It just seems like they're being released, like, very close together.
Right. I know you mentioned in your Informer article that perhaps rather than releasing Telos as soon as that was put into game after the God Wars dungeon, that maybe it should have been pushed back another 6 months. So maybe, for example, yeah, the solo boss in 2017 should have been Telos. But I mean, this was voted in by the players, so it is what it is. What we know so far about this is it's going to feature the same kind of enrage mechanics, except tweaked. It's going to be related to Zautak, the sea creature that was mentioned in the Barrow's Quest. And it's also going to be called the Ambassador. So should be interesting to see what comes from this and how difficult it will be, because I have the feeling they're planning to one-up Telos from this. So fingers crossed, but we didn't really get too much information about mechanics or otherwise, so we will definitely be keeping an eye out for that going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much all the combat council announced this year at RuneFest. Anything else that you'd like to mention that caught your eye from the combat crew?
Not really. Didn't hear much about wilderness stuff.
But, yeah, that was weird, wasn't it? Because, you know, in the past couple of months, we've had such a huge emphasis on the wilderness. You'd think in 2017 they'd want to continue that trend.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well then, we're going to have a little break now from the reveals and discussion of the great RuneFest news to move on to have a discussion with some of the folks from Clan Quest. So starting off, we have Drezu from Clan Quest, who you guys might know. He's been on the podcast before, most notably for the Brassican Hypothesis episode. But anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about today, regardless.
Oh, I can talk about that in a minute.
Oh,
it's relevant.
But... All right. So I'm going to ask you guys a few questions, and I understand you also have some of the other Clan Quest contingent there, which is just excellent. So
I got Proto Man and Tycho Elf here, so I figure you just do interviews with them
right
rather than do it as a group.
So first off, assuming you went to RuneFest last year, I know you did, Draz. Does it feel any different this year than last year? And if so, how?
It's a completely different venue. And I would describe this venue as a much more open. The last venue, it was a bunch of small rooms. They had each room was kind of segregated for different topics. And this one is a little bit more open and just everything is a little bit more overlapping. It just felt like more of a, for lack of a better term, convention. It was just a better convention hall, in my opinion. And then the kind of content and details that were discussed last year, I felt was a lot of it was really in response to a lot of lore that was coming up and had just recently been released, versus this, we're really coming into it without any major amount of content in the last few weeks, and especially in the last few months. Nothing that's been game-changingly altering. And so as we're coming into this, they really had potential to bring up new stuff rather than look at what had just been released. And so it was a little bit different of an atmosphere of what they were introducing and how they were going about introducing it from the last time, because I really felt like the last time they were really concentrating on what had just recently been released and how it was going to affect what was coming up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. All right. I guess that kind of leads into a change that was announced for this year's RuneFest schedule, and that is the increased focus on YouTube streamers, Twitch streamers, and whatnot at the event. What's the general consensus there at RuneFest, and how do you feel about that?
Well, the biggest change I saw was is that, you know, JMods wear a very distinguished JMod shirt. And so the YouTubers actually had a blue version of that shirt to help make it obvious for the typical RuneScape player like me. Because, you know, we know a lot of those YouTubers. We know a lot of those streamers. And so to have them have a shirt that makes them a little bit easier to distinguish was kind of cool. I think that they are an important part of the community. They're community leaders. They drive the community. Just like this podcast has a big impact on how a lot of your, you know, listeners play their game and enjoy their game. Same thing with the streamers and the YouTubers. And I think it was good that Jagex actually took the opportunity to take the extra step and recognize them and make them a little bit more accessible to the average player, because that is the point of a con, is to give access to the player, to the people that we want to meet. And those are, in many ways, the people that we want to meet. So I was happy about it. The content release, like the, you know, the different segments and stuff, I didn't feel was really that focused on them personally. So the actual content that Jagex is putting forward, I don't feel was too, you know, focused on YouTube or streaming.
All right.
But it was good to have them. They were more accessible for us players, if that makes sense.
All right,
so I think
sure.
It was a positive, not a negative in any way.
Now comes probably the hardest question I'm going to ask you in this segment here. So I'm assuming you are aware of the reveals for RuneScape coming in 2017.
Sure.
What is your favorite thing that was revealed for 2017 and why? Well,
the biggest thing that they revealed, and they really focused so much on it, is they had basically what they're calling RuneScape expansions. And so the premise of this being that they have been releasing content on a weekly, bi-weekly schedule, and it's been smaller to medium-sized updates, and they've never really worked too hard on getting just a massive amount of content created, ready, and then release it. And so for like me, I'm not really capable of committing on a weekly basis. And we've discussed that they create a lot of content that is either dead content or immediately is removed from the game. And so I don't even get to enjoy that content as it's released. But what they're talking about doing now is releasing content like Prithinus at that vast scale of a level. And not just the single update, but all the different updates to Prithinus that have been made, or the Ark. Instead of having Ark 1 and 2, they're talking about just having it as one major sweeping update that's going to take you more than a day to complete. They want it to be something that is a quarterly thing, and it takes you 3 months to do before the next expansion. And they're even designing like the comp cape and stuff to be based on it taking you months to do. You get to keep it until the next expansion. So I think that that is spectacular. I think that is a good thing. And the biggest thing for me was they were talking about how it's secret. They're not going to be telling people what the content is. They're going to make it, and then they're going to release it. So no more of the shenanigans with the players modifying the content because it gets released and then they change it 2 days later. No, they're going to make it, they're going to release it, and it's going to be so much content, it's going to take you weeks to play it out, that they're not going to really be modifying their game because of how the community reacts. And I think that is an absolute necessary and an absolute positive, and I'm super excited about it. Anyway.
All right. Thank you for that. I enjoyed your answer to that question.
I'm glad.
So following from that.
I know you agree with me. We've talked about that in the past.
Yeah, we have. And I know that's something that you probably need for you in your own personal gameplay. So Now, did you manage to take in the skilling session on the second stage?
I didn't. Unfortunately, I was busy for that. But the next one was the lore one. And actually, we have it. I believe they streamed it. It's recorded for sure. Mod Raven saying that Braska Prime is in fact the most powerful NPC in game.
All
in
right.
In front of everybody.
See,
to thunderous applause. So there's no confusing it. It is in fact true.
All right. So it looks like you are right, and we may have to revisit the Brassican hypothesis and add on to it and perhaps validate some of the claims that you made in 2017. It's unfortunate we didn't get to see things that were on the second stage, so those will be released to us on YouTube later in the week. So we will definitely look forward to that, and I will tell all the listeners to pay attention to that. Was there anything else aside from the huge reveal about Brassican Prime being the most powerful entity RS on there that you'd just like to mention?
The exciting thing about this is it really does appear to me that the JMods have said, screw what the community says. We know what we need to do. We know what we need to make because they'll love it, and they have loved it in the past. Let's just make it, and be happy with it, and they'll be happy with it. And they're really, it seems like, releasing content without an opinion of feedback. They're just trying to really release good content. And everything that I watched and everybody I talked to about everything really seems that there's been a big, major mentality shift in, you know, we need to have bigger, because really the problem has been they've been releasing small updates that have not really been happy because it needs work. And so they've realized, well, if we just make a big update that's ready, nobody will complain. And they've really had a mentality shift about it. And I think it's a good thing. And I think they're going in good places.
All right. That sounds good. And I, you know, that is definitely also something that we have talked about on the podcast before. And it's something that the game needs. So that is excellent that that vibe was seized at RuneFest 2016. One final easy question before we let you go. I know you've met JMods before, but assuming you have met some more JMods this year, what would have been your favorite in-person JMod that you've met?
Mod Timbo is a certifiable badass.
All right.
And Mod Raven voices a certain character who shall not be named.
Oh, interesting. So. Well, perhaps we will get a reveal for that later in 2017.
You know him as a Cabbage Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Thanks for having me, Shane. I appreciate
it. Yep. Thanks, Draz, for taking the time out of your evening to chat with me. And we'll catch you later.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So now we're here with Protoman907 from Clan Quest also. So is this your first RuneFest that you've been attending?
No, I've actually been to the last two RuneFests before this.
All right. Does it feel any different this year? What's perhaps the biggest change that you've noticed different from last year?
I guess the biggest change is obviously the venue, which has moved from Tobacco Dock, which has been in for the last few years, which I guess has its benefits and its downfalls. I think Tobacco Dock's a lovely venue, so it was always kind of a nice vibe, but it felt very RuneScape-y, whereas the current location in Battersea Evolution isn't the most, I guess, in the RuneScape 5, but at the same time, I feel like they've actually used the space a lot better this year. One of the things I always felt with Tobacco Dock was that they had all this space, but they used specific rooms, and then
right.
A lot of it was just empty space. And this year, they seem to have really filled the venue with everything.
All right. Moving on to some content about RuneFest itself, how did you feel about having official presence of YouTube streamers, Twitch streamers, video makers at this year's RuneFest?
I didn't actually notice it overly much. Like, obviously, I recognized that they were there, but I didn't go to the streamers talks. So other than that, it was just a couple of extra people in t-shirts.
All right.
I'm not particularly active in the community at the minute. I do think it's a really good idea to give the community that is creating content that recognition. I think it's great that even if they're not necessarily getting a Golden Gnome or not even getting nominated for Golden Gnome, it's great that they can be recognized for that and that they do get something to take away from that, and it is seen that their content is being noticed.
All right, fair enough. So moving on to 2017 in RS, what's your favorite piece of content that was revealed to be on the roadmap for 2017?
Well, I know Draz has already talked about RuneScape expansions, but which is obviously a very big thing, but for me, I think kind of two of the more interesting things were one of the smaller things. So stuff like the bank rework, which I know a lot of people have wanted for a very long time, and they're finally getting around to it. And the other is the very small one that Mod Osborne threw in, which was the buying or bidding of or auctioning off of banned account banks, which I think is kind of an interesting idea. It's a kind of nice idea. It's something I've thought about before, which is the idea of like what happens to items or, you know, that are either in banks or that just seem to have disappeared. And this is kind of a way of potentially resurfacing them, but adding a bit of a game element to it, in that you can bid massive amounts of money on an account that has nothing in it, or you could get lucky and get lots of rares which haven't been on the market for quite a long time.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be very interesting, and I think that if they show the name of the banned account, it's going to be like, oh, this person did this, and now I'm receiving their loot, and well, they did something bad, I can do something good with it. Following from that, did you manage to take in the skilling session at all on stage 2?
No, unfortunately not. I didn't make it to that or any of the other stuff on the second stage today.
Oh, right.
Just did a few other things going on, so I actually had to leave RuneFest for an hour and then missed a couple of things.
All right. Following that, what would be your favorite JMod that you managed to meet this year at RuneFest?
Probably Mod Osborne. I just quite like Mod Osborne. He's quite a nice guy. Other than that, Mod Raven's hilarious.
Yeah, I absolutely
love any interaction with Mod Raven. So yeah, between one or the other of them.
All right. Thank you, Proto Man, for taking the time out of your evening to chat with us for RSBNB Update.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
And now we're here, finally, with Tycho Elf from ClanQuest. You heard Tycho Elf a few weeks ago on RSBNB Update. So you're at RuneFest this year. You made the journey all the way from Sweden to come and visit the UK. So I guess the first thing I'll say to you is, how are you enjoying your trip over to the UK for RuneFest?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it quite a lot. This is my first RuneFest, and I'm very happy to be here. It's been such an awesome day. I've met many JMods and streamers, and I've been there firsthand to see everything happen, the reveals, the tournaments, everything. So I'm very happy to be here.
All right. Now, I've talked to the others about, you know, the increased presence of YouTube and Twitch partners at RuneFest this year. Did you notice their increased presence at all? And if so, what did you think about them being included more so in this year's RuneFest?
Oh, I think it was very good. Very good indeed. Very good indeed. It was very easy to distinguish and very easy to meet everyone that we wanted. The JMods, as Jazz mentioned, were very distinctive t-shirts, and I never knew there were so many JMods everywhere. Like, I don't know how to describe it. They were like a bunch of ants that was everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal for the first time when you talk to one of them, isn't it?
Yeah. So now I really see the difference between how many JMods that show up on stream and how many JMods that in reality work for Jagex.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think it's really good idea.
Yeah. All right. 2017 content, what's your favorite?
Well, I have my favorite and the funniest. The funniest one, if I may start with that one,
sure,
is bank bidding or account bidding.
It seems to be a general favorite.
Yeah, it's actually that Mod Osborne convinced his team to do something entirely his idea, and it was account bidding, that banned accounts are getting an auction on them. And the winner who pays the most gets their bank.
Yeah. So do you foresee yourself participating in this bank bidding?
Yeah, but I'm imagining that a lot of players are going to bid higher than me. But
yeah,
that was the funniest one. Everyone was laughing at it, and such a great idea at the same time. But my favorite as an quest is Children of Ma quest.
Oh yeah, of course.
I'm really shaking with excitement for that one. The lore, the mysteries, everything. Yeah. So for me, it was really something I'm looking forward to.
Would you say that that the Children of Ma live stream, where they revealed what was going to be happening in that quest, perhaps revealed too much, or was it just the right amount?
Well, they revealed a lot what they were going to reveal, but they haven't revealed a lot about what's going on, or how do you say it? They actually didn't reveal the thing itself, but much about what they're going to reveal. So that has built up a lot of excitement, and of course there are people here talking about that this is going to happen. They have their own theories on what's going to happen. So for some it's predictable, but for some others it's something unknown for us. Where we come in, the questions that we're going to discover in a couple of months.
All right. Following from that, I guess I'll just ask you one final thing. Who is the favorite JMod that you've met this year at RuneFest?
That was clearly Mudraven. I have a fun time talking a bit with Mudraven, and I actually gave him a postcard. Postcard that I signed was from ClanQuest.
Oh, nice.
And and we had such a fun time. It wasn't more than like 2 minutes, but for me it felt longer, and it was really, really fun knowing his character and the humor he has. He also, in the law corner earlier this day, I also asked him a question about Jessica Prime, about how it's the most powerful god.
Right, Draz mentioned that.
Yeah, he joked and said, Jessica Prime is the most powerful god in Galino, because Jessica Prime simply has the best voice acting in the whole game.
And we know who voices Brassica Prime.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Tycho, for taking the time out of your evening to chat with us for RSBNB Update and Clan Quest. I am thoroughly happy that you enjoyed your RuneFest experience.
Oh, yes, I have. And I'm still alive.
All right. Thanks, Tycho. All right, well, there's our friends from Clan Quest. We did also have some Clan Quest responses from the questions that I fielded by way of text, and I'll read some of those right now from Herblaw. Basically, Herblaw feels that the atmosphere at this year's RuneFest was so amazing, and there was so much hype, and it was really heightened by the scenery and the music, and just in all, the general atmosphere was fantastic. Responding to the question about YouTube streamers at the event, it's definitely a good thing to increase the popularity of RuneScape in the wider gaming community. That's an interesting response. With regards to the 2017 content, all of it, including the trim requirements and stuff, Mod Deg said that he was actually going to think of Herblaw when he works on the new Telos scale hard boss mode update, which is always interesting when you go to RuneFest. You can have your own discussion with the JMods, and from that maybe influence them in a tiny bit, depending on how persuasive you are. And then
all the charisma.
Exactly. And Herblaw's favorite JMod that he met at RuneFest was Mod Lord for making the amazing music in-game, and is also a genuinely awesome guy in real life. So once again, some interesting responses there, because I don't think anyone's ever said that Mod Lord was one of their favorite JMods for making music, but the modern music in RuneScape is just excellent, and the music team definitely does deserve a shout out for that. Also, some answers here from Vodka Beef. She's a attender of years past RuneFest, called the vibe more intimate at this year's RuneFest, mainly because the venue is smaller. The focus on streamers and YouTubers is a good thing, and they keep the community fresh by showcasing all the new content. And her favorite update coming in 2017 is definitely going to be the bank rework. And, of course, Vodka B's favorite JMod that she met was Mod Osborne. So definitely some similarities there with some of the other answers that we heard from. So you might have heard, oh, what is this bank rework? What is, you know, this Telos hard scale? Well, that is the 2017 reveals for RuneScape. They didn't reveal everything they had in their bag for this year, but they did reveal a good portion of what's going to be joining us in 2017. And most notably, this was formed by the survey that we all filled out this past summer. So, in order from number 1 to 12, the 12 most popular updates on the survey were the bank rework, followed by the agility rework, then the weather system, Slayer to level 120, the new solo boss, the new Slayer dungeon, the player-owned farm and greenhouse, the mysterious continent, a clue scroll overhaul, skilling pets, which are already in-game, the construction and POH rework, and skill specializations. So there's the top 12.
Mm.
What do you think?
weather systems, being able to change it with specific dances and rituals.
Yeah, that's what they said. I mean, there's going to be, weather systems that are intrinsic to certain areas or times of the year in game. But as you progress through the game, you're going to have the ability to influence the weather based on your own gameplay and use it to enhance certain aspects. The example they give is, for example, using a lightning rod on the top of the wizard's tower and unleashing it as a new component for spells and abilities. So that makes sense. Another one is heading down to Alcard to watch sandstorms, picking up whole dunes of sand, revealing forgotten tombs to explore, or flash floods that bring rare fish to a previously barren environment. And then, of course, in addition to showing off their new rendering engine with NXT, you'll be able to perform the rain dances that you mentioned and create local downpours, freezing opponents with cold spells, or having just a bit of fun by making your local bank fill up with rain clouds. So, I think there's definitely going to need to be some limits on this. And obviously, I mean, this is early days and they've got some concept art out here about how this will look. Another thing they gave the example of during the talk was, for example, maybe being able to fill in a certain area with water and reveal some rare farming patches. I just have to throw that out there. But I have a feeling you're not too enthused about the banking up, or the weather system update.
Oh, the weather system's fine. I don't have any gripes about it.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it was funny.
Oh, okay.
The dance. The one I do have a gripe about is, if anyone knows me at this point, skilling pets.
Oh, okay. Well, they're already in game.
Yeah. So that one bombed.
All right. I'll give you your chance to air that here since we haven't heard that, and it's part of 2017 officially. So please do.
I think skilling pets is one of those things that just didn't need to be in game. I do not understand the appeal to it, and I'm sorry. I just can't get behind it, and I have no intentions of ever going for one and avoiding it like the plague.
All right. I know we have had people in the friends chat, do upwards of 30 million thieving XP to get a thieving pet.
Which I just don't understand. I don't. I wish I could. the amount of salt I'm pouring onto the table right now is ridiculous, but I just don't understand.
All right. Well, what about these other skilling pets that are going to be arriving, including the combat pets, clue scroll pets, and minigame pets?
What do you mean more?
They're going to be adding more for the combat skills, potentially getting them from clue scrolls and from minigames.
That's it. I'm done.
I think we could go a step further and say they're also going to be releasing a feature next year called Combat Pets in the Pet Park.
Stop. You need to stop.
And these pets would be able to do things rather than just being cosmetic. The example that Mod Mark did is that they would bring you, for example, an inventory of Chinchampas, the hunter pet, at the pet park, rather than his cat bringing him dead pigeons. So it's basically a way of putting your skilling pets to work and allowing you to benefit from them. So, all right, so we'll leave skilling pets behind. How do you feel about the bank rework?
Bank rework, that's good. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, the bank has largely stayed the same forever. They've added a few new buttons to it here and there. The largest, I think change would have been the tab system and the revamped dragon dropping to it. So, I mean, it definitely needs a change and to be brought into, I want to say, the new interface system, because it doesn't feel like it's part of the new interface system. So that's good. Other things they're going to be able to do with it, colored tabs, for example, naming your own tabs, different sorting predicates so you can sort by whatever the heck you want to sort by, offering placeholders so you can store single items and not worry about with their position changing when you take them out, and unlimited bank tabs. I didn't mention that. So, definitely something that we need. So, no surprise that it was number one. The agility rework, we didn't really hear too much about the agility rework here, but it definitely is on the table for 2017. And I think that this is definitely a positive thing, because when you think about it, what do we have in game right now that is less useful than agility? So,
fire making.
Okay, fair enough. Slayer will be brought to level 120, and the way they revealed this was just amazing. So we'll save that for later, because I want to highlight it in more detail. But the new solo boss, we've already talked about that. The new Slayer dungeon, we've already talked about that. The player-owned farm and greenhouse was definitely in the top 12, but it wasn't on the news posting here, so we'll have to see if they get to it. But, you know, it's definitely an update that I'm jumping up and down about, because it came in just a very close second to the aquarium, and I think the aquarium overall has been a letdown. And, I mean, there needs to be a reason to use your player-owned house, aside from, you know, just storing stuff there and going to visit your little fishies from time to time. So,
yeah,
definitely hoping this one makes it into the game. The Mysterious Continent was also voted high on the list, but not mentioned in the stream. So should be interesting to see how this worked with exploration, given the release of the Ark. Though I think that having a wide open, vast area to explore would kind of return RuneScape to once what it was. So definitely needed, I believe so as well.
Probably my favorite from this whole list.
Oh, interesting. Why is that?
Yeah. I just like the idea of just the actual, like, exploring part of it. What they talked about for this, where you'd be, like, hacking through things and making your own paths and all that kind of stuff, just sounds so different and new. I don't know.
It's something that we haven't had before in RS, which I think is definitely a great thing. So, a clue scroll rework will be also in 2017, including new god bows and new third age gear, just to name a bit. Footprints that players leave behind will now follow you throughout the world, and you'll be able to follow these for various clue scrolls. A new champions tier clue scroll, as well as skilling rewards in the clue scrolls, which I think is going to be very interesting, specifically on the skilling side of things. And the champion tier clue scroll will be a race around the world that anyone can participate in, and only one person will get the reward at the end of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think that they've needed something like this, and it needs to be a regular occurrence and not just something that is hosted at, you know, special streams or special events, because anyone who has attended one of our events in the past will know that one of our most famous things to do is the RSBNB Amazing Race all throughout the world, and you get something at the end of it, and this sounds exactly like that, so I'm really happy for this, and to see what kind of skilling rewards they can pop in, so... we already talked about scaling pets, and you don't like those.
Yep. Part of my soul is gone now.
Okay. The construction and POH rework was in the top 12, but not on the list and not talked about. So I hope that...
I'll shed a single tear.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think that we need the construction and POH rework?
I think there's bigger fish to fry at this moment.
Such as?
The mining and the smithing rework.
Oh yeah, well of course we know that's coming in 2017 for sure. Yeah. So, but I mean, and then also skill specializations, which I mean I wasn't too excited about, but I mean if they can revamp skills that are feeling useless, then sure, that's a great thing, right? But
yeah.
Not something we definitely need. So as a result of that, we have the agility rework, Slayer to 120, the new Slayer dungeon, the Mysterious Continent, the player-owned farm and greenhouse, the construction and POH rework, and the skill specializations, which we're not given any detail in this talk, but that doesn't mean that they're not coming. It's just that they haven't had the chance to be fully fleshed out yet here. So I do hope that the ones that weren't talked about will still be arriving. So, mining and smithing rework. Yeah. So were you a fan of them pulling it back?
If it needs to be pulled back to be done right, then I am a fan.
All right. Now, what they basically said here is that they went back to the drawing board, and they're going to be releasing a series of dev blogs in October that take the players all the way through Plan B and outline the design of this new rework. And it's a complete return to the drawing board. So, I mean, I can see why they're doing that, and I can see why they're being transparent. I'm just not a huge fan of the hand-folding here that's being provided based on the feedback that was given. So I think that we can take some solace in the fact that raising the profile of mining and smithing, rune and dragon being lowered, and new materials or armor and weapons being added to the skills are still going to be core objectives of the rework. So I'm happy with that. I just hope that JAGX has enough autonomy on this that their own ideas will reign supreme. So, do you have any thoughts on this?
If the idea wasn't right, going back to the drawing board is a good idea. Letting everyone know is pretty much all they should have done, though. I don't really think they need to publicize everything about it until they were a little bit more confident.
And, I mean, I think that's something that they've learned, and I think we can see that in the way the 2017 updates are being talked about. So I think we are heading in the right direction in that regard. So I'm willing to kind of forget that the whole debacle about hearing about it on the stream happened. And then, a few days later, we're pulling it back. And as long as we can get, you know, a concrete idea out there and it's, you know, fleshed out well and it's not necessarily fully driven by the players, I think we'll be good. So... I hope this update turns out well, because let's be clear that we definitely need a mining and smithing rework.
Yep.
Other updates coming in 2017, Shattered Worlds, which we have discussed in the combat feature. Once again, this was pushed back. So I think that that's okay, and it's going to turn out to be really interesting. The Elder God quest, and the question that's asked with this is, what happens if Bick decides to wake up? That's the Elder God resting under Entrena. Will you be able to revert the damage the gods have done and perhaps find them a new home? And will Zaros survive the troubles at the end of Sliske's endgame? I think that's going to be a really great quest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not only because of questioning what Zaros is going to survive or not, but also because it mentions that, okay, we're going to be having an Elder God wake up and it's going to tear apart this world, so we'll need to find them a new home. And part of me makes the idea that something will happen in Sliske's endgame that will wake them up, and we will be dealing with that in next year's quest. So I think that that is going to feature in Sliske's endgame perhaps, but that's just my own theory.
Spoiler alert, Shane.
Well, I mean, it's right on the news page. It's nowhere near as big as the spoiler of telling people what they're going to see during one of the cutscenes in the quest. But anyways.
Well, that seems like a very valid process to come to that conclusion.
Yeah. The Evil Dave quest. You a fan of Evil Dave?
I love Evil Dave.
Okay. It's a chance for Evil Dave to meet his idol, Zamorak. It's going to be a strong character-driven quest and focus on that weird British humor that so many players just love. So, I can't say I'm too much for British humor, but nonetheless, I just would like to draw everyone's attention to the concept art for this in the news posting. Yeah, it's really interesting. Dave with the photo, or with his arm around Zamorak, and Zamorak does not look pleased at all in this photo. So you can already tell what kind of quest it's going to be based on what we're seeing here with the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Also, carrying on from that, A new achievement system bringing quests, skilling, combat, minigames, distractions, and other achievements all together. And it will be a single achievement ranking. It'll show down next to your total skill level, just like your quest points do. And it'll also be used to give you recommendations, if you should choose to, of what you want to do when you log in. So, kind of a way of telling us, those of us who feel like we've done everything in-game but want something else to do, it'll give us something to do. I just have to keep going back and looking and seeing that, oh, we didn't really get to hear about the player-owned farm and greenhouse or the construction and POH rework. So I have my doubts that those will be arriving. And, I mean, it's interesting that they were in the top 12 and they're not necessarily going to be fully focused upon, because at the very start of Mod Mark's discussion about 2017, he said, and I quote, "This is just a vision that may pan out, but it is subject to change." So it doesn't necessarily mean that this year is set in stone, and that rather than, you know, relying on polls and community-driven content to fill our year, we're going to listen to a few of your suggestions and we're going to use that to drive our development cycle, which I think is ultimately how RuneScape should be developed. And case in point, they surprised us with RuneScape expansions, because players had essentially said that they want larger updates to be fully formed and they don't want to feel like a beta tester. So an example of this is that they wanted the Ark all in one batch, which is understandable, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. Yeah. And I was all for it.
Yeah, and another example would have been Invention all in one batch, Priftinus all in one batch. Those are the kind of updates that we are talking about for 2017's RuneScape expansions. There's going to be three expansions in 2017, starting in the summer, fall, and winter. Summer, of course, will be June, fall will be September, and winter will be December. And between these, there will be still updates that will appear in-game. So, for example, you'll get, let's see, where is this here? Anyways, the expansions will be Elf City-sized updates, which is pretty substantial when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Elf City-sized updates we've had this year would probably be the Ark and Invention, if you put them into that basket.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, the first expansion they announced, the Golden City of Menaphos, coming in summer of 2017.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this was voted on as a potential option for 2016, but the Ark went out instead. So it's interesting we're seeing Menaphos continue on beyond that, which is really great, I think. And the way they describe Menaphos is just a total difference to Priftinus. In that the core focus of Menaphos will be, rather than, you know, having, you know, the best XP rates, the best guaranteed XP rates in the game, like you get in Prif, you're going to have a chance to take a risk in Menaphos. And if you can navigate that risk and, you know, plan out the way you're going to be training your skills, there will be the chance for even bigger the rewards in Priftinus, but it won't be sustained like Priftinus is. The city will consist of lush oases, trickling streams, and hanging gardens. All of the wealth of the desert has fallen into Menaphos, and it's, of course, going to be a hub city, alternative to Priftinus, Varrock, that kind of thing. So that's the level we're talking about. So
I love the concept art for this.
Yeah, it's really great. The video as well that they released with this, I mean, if you just look at what has been discussed so far and where they're going with this, I think it really describes what Jagex is capable of in the current era of RuneScape. And I mean, you just need to watch about where this video starts and then where it goes, and then it's slowly but surely paving your way out to Menaphos, saying you've been to Priftinus, you've been to the Ark, you've been to the Heart, you now it's time to venture into the desert and find this city that has been, you know, a black dot on the map since, you know, 2005, and lo and behold, here it is. What would you say is your favorite part of the Golden City of Menaphos from what we've heard?
I like the plundering aspect.
Yeah, it's basically an entire city that's kind of built like pyramid plunder, right?
Yeah. Citywide. It's just kind of can be almost dark at times. Like, it's a city where you just don't trust anything, which is really interesting.
Yeah, indeed. You know what's I found really interesting with this is the way they are talking about each of these updates, because they want to bring surprise and discovery back to RS. There will be parts of the expansions that are, of course, highlighted in the videos and news postings, but there will be parts that you need to discover on their own. And there's going to be parts that they will vaguely allude to that you won't find out until release day what's happening. And the classic example they gave of this was the way they announced the construction skill. So you can expect to see more of that with the expansions, which I think is just excellent. I've been waiting for so long to have updates go back to this kind of routine. So really happy with this. Other things they've mentioned about Menaphos, there's far-off explosions that occurred recently that are caused by Amaskit, and the Tomb of Menaphos, which is revealed by Amaskit, creating a citywide pyramid plunder, which is exactly what you said, so that's what mm-hmm. the entire city feels like, full of resources, new skilling plots open up, specifically mentioning agility and farming. So, great to see those skills receiving a focus here. It'll be, of course, riskier than Pristinus, which is understandable, being in the desert. The desert has always been an area associated with risk, I think we can say.
Yeah.
Also, they're going to be releasing a quest with this later on, the Krondis quest, which follows from the Scabbarites and whatnot. So, once again, just providing that whole experience, a quest in a new area to explore. And then the Slayer Dungeon. That was mentioned for 2017 is Amaskit's personal Slayer Dungeon. And this is a Slayer Dungeon we heard earlier about in the combat discussion. So I think this was a really interesting way of doing Slayer. And I think it belongs in Menaphos. So definitely happy to have it here. And rather than, you know, just having it plop down somewhere else in the world and, you know, just having everyone access to it, you're going to need to work through Menaphos in order to gain access, which is the way it should be for such a lucrative dungeon, at least the way it sounds. And then they pulled an apple at the end of this talk. And they basically said, and there's one more thing. With the release of Menaphos, the Slayer level cap will be increased to 120.
All right.
How do you feel about that?
I am not sure. Part of me is excited, and another part of me is filled with dread.
Why is that?
I went to 99. I don't want to go to 120.
Yeah, that would be a long time. But I think people do enough Slayer in the game that they would be able to meet that requirement quickly if they so choose to, especially with the new Slayer updates coming out.
Yeah, I can see that. So I guess I'll just have to see like how much faster Slayer ends up going, if this new method with this dungeon will be more enjoyable. I think they'll all lead to whether 120 will be a nightmare or not. So,
yeah. Now, one thing that really wasn't mentioned here was whether or not people who had existing 104 million XP in Slayer will automatically get level 120, or if you're going to need to work up to it. Conventional wisdom tells you that if you're past 104 mil XP, you'll have 120. But that wasn't necessarily confirmed in this discussion. So,
yeah, I don't think people should be penalized.
No, because if you already got 200 mil, you should have it and have it beyond, I think. So, mm-hmm. Following from that, and then the question is, what happens between expansions? Because, you know, people wanted these huge updates, but it is not within RuneScape's DNA to have a week without a game update, right? So,
yeah.
They definitely made it clear that, you know, there will not be vast expanses of the year with no updates. So what is going to happen expansions is effectively what we have right now. You're going to be waiting to complete that expansion because it's going to be so huge. I think it'll take the entire time between expansion release and the next expansion coming out to complete a good majority of that content. So there's that. But there won't be another Ark or God Wars Dungeon 2 between expansions, but there will be smaller updates like skilling events like we had with Port Serum or area reworks with Catherby, bottle quests, which is great. We didn't hear much about those this year. New clue scrolls, the beach, skill training methods, combat encounters, and tales like we had with God Wars Dungeon 2. So they are going to be filling that content with updates. Some of those updates will be permanent in-game. Others will be temporary, namely including the skilling events, the beach, and other tales like that. So I think that this is a fair way of doing things without going towards, you know, the whole World of Warcraft type expansion model where you're months without an update. So I think this is fair given the fact that there's huge updates that they want to put out. So I am genuinely looking forward to this expansion. And, you know, I think that the roadmap for 2017 looks great. I would love to see what we are looking out, you know, beyond to 2020. But I have the feeling that so much is fluid that it really wouldn't make sense to talk about that at this stage. But nonetheless, just the fact that we heard so much detail and so much vision here for a single year based on things they want to do and the way they want to coordinate these updates in with each other. It gives me a good feeling. Gives me a better feeling than we've had for 2016, because I think it's no secret here that for 2016's updates, it felt like we were kind of, you know, just having sporadic a la carte updates, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With filler content in between that might not persist between game updates. So I think that this is definitely the way to go about this, and I can't wait to hear more. You have anything else?
No. I also like this new release schedule. It's one that I was really looking forward to. I would like to be having themed stuff given to me in large quantities, so not everyone's doing the same thing at once all the time.
Yeah.
So
And I mean, I think that this is what we needed after 2016, especially for us veteran players, veteran skillers in particular, who are feeling kind of that our gameplay has been neglected for a bit. Mm-hmm. And the Combat Council did more previous years than they did this year. So the fact that combat was smaller this year and skilling, I feel, in general, was larger in the 2017 updates, that gives me a good feeling. The only thing that we really didn't hear about that I was hoping of hearing about from the survey was that question relating to increasing wealth generation from skilling to bring it on par with combat. We really didn't hear anything about that. Maybe we will hear more about that in the skilling discussion from the second stage, which wasn't live streamed, and we will get to that and the lore discussion and everything else second stage on next week's episode of RSBNB Update. But I think that's pretty much all I have to say about the content in 2017.
I don't feel I have anything else to add to it either.
Yeah. All in all, I think we had a great RuneFest this year, and I would explicitly like to thank Drazu, Protoman, Tycho, Vodka, and Herblaw from Clan Quest for answering the questions that I fielded to them, both in audio and text, and taking the time to do that after their busy day at RuneFest. I know it can be, you know, a huge run at a convention like that, and then to just find some free time at the end of the day is often hard. So thank you to all you great individuals from Clan Quest for taking the time to do that. All right. I believe that brings us almost to our conclusion here. Do you have anything else before we move on, RuneFest related?
Nope. I think we can tie this one down.
All righty. Well, let's cover some other things that happened this week in addition to, you know, just the standard RuneFest updates. Our skill of the month is progressing. The magic skill of the month, we are in kind of a flatlining mode here where Super Clank has remain constant at 8.8 million XP gain. Meanwhile, Jaden has taken second place to 2.5 million XP, and Parnassius is in third place with 1.9 million XP gained. Though I am expecting to see some changes on the double XP weekend next week about what exactly is happening with the skill of the month, because magic and oh, so much can change with the double XP weekend.
Oh, yes, it can.
Yes. So, we do have some achievements of the week now. Let's start down this list. I'll get the first couple, then you can take on from there.
Okay.
So first up was a div with 120 invention on September 15th. Congratulations to you, sir. Then we had Alpha 2-8 with 99 Hunter on September 15th.
Sorensen 57 got 120 hit points on
Constitution.
Constitution.
On the 13th.
And he also got 200 mil Dungeoneering XP.
That's a big one to max out, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
You must really like the skill to do that.
Yeah. Dungeoneering, I can understand. I like Dungeoneering too, but 200 mil XP is just amazing.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So big congratulations to you there for that. And then J1, J2, J3, otherwise known as Trekkie, got 99 thieving on September 11th. And then finally, Dat Engineer, known as Titus on the RSBNB forums, got 120 farming on September 9th. So big congratulations to you for that one. I am always happy to announce 99 or 120 farmings. Good job, my friend. All right, there's your achievements of the week. Now, I believe, Mr. Bistro, you have a pick of the week for us.
I do. My pick is the show Stranger Things. It's a show on Netflix, and it's really interesting. If it's about a bunch of kids that are finding out that some weird things are happening in their town. Some people go missing, and everyone's trying to figure out why. And if you like Dungeons and Dragons, there's some little cameos to that, and it's just so well done, so well acted. I don't think I've watched a show that I've enjoyed this much and actually had to binge through in a long time. And it has been announced that a season 2 is coming around. The cast has not, though, so there might be a completely different cast for it. And this kind of show definitely allows that to be a possibility.
Interesting.
So, Stranger Things.
And is this on Netflix or?
This is on Netflix.
Okay.
Yep. There are 8 episodes, I believe, in the season. And then there's a bunch of like trailer stuff and all that.
Yeah, it's always interesting, I find, about how, you know, you have these TV shows that come onto Netflix, and, you know, people are the hugest fans of them, and you don't really get that on broadcast TV anymore. So I think I think Netflix is definitely on the way to, you know, changing the way we see broadcast TV. So, yeah.
Yeah, that and shows like Mr. Robot, the way USA is handling that show is very different from how a bunch of other stations handle their like top viewed shows, where you can actually watch it online. There's no ads. They're making their revenue through different methods, which I don't know, but it's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to consider about where we are today versus where we were, you know, even just 5 years ago when it comes to TV and whatnot. And, you know, that's definitely one of the concerns that many people have, not me, about the new Star Trek series coming next year, because in the U.S. it's going to be on CBS All Access, and they're actually going to have commercials in that, whereas Netflix has no commercials. Though the new Star Trek series will be available on Netflix worldwide, and it's actually being broadcast on Real TV here in Canada. So it's only you guys who in the US have to deal with ads. So it's going to be interesting to see how a TV show with ads on CBS All Access compares to the rest of the world on Netflix with no ads, compares, you know, given the huge success that other TV shows deal in the in the rest of the world with Netflix, Stranger Things, House of Cards, Mr. Robot, you name it. So, anyways, yeah, interesting. Might have to have a look at this. Looks interesting from the trailer here. They're showing a part now with someone with tattoos on the arms of numbers. I don't suppose you can say what that has to deal with without revealing too much.
Well, it gets revealed pretty early on, but I would prefer saving a lot of this show for people to watch and kind of experience. I was really gifted to go into this and not really have a whole lot of people talk about it and tell me what the show actually kind of was. They just said to me that there was some like D&D like mentions in there, so I gave it a watch, and then I got hooked because I had no idea what the show was, and it just kept being more and more interesting. So the characters are great. The actors are phenomenal, even the kid actors. So just give it a shot if you have Netflix.
All right. That sounds good. So that brings us to the end of this week. So what have you been up to this week on RS?
Just been doing some invention training with fishing. I'm getting pretty close to 99 invention now. So I'll be really happy to get my max cape back. But that's about all I've been doing. I did go and just kind of walk around in Catherby.
After it got reworked. Any Netflix and kill?
Yeah, no, not Netflix and kill. It's more Netflix and
chill?
Crystal Urchin.
Okay. Yeah, I was explained to what Netflix and chill means. We don't want to do that.
Oh.
All right. As for me, stocking up on Herbler supplies for bonus XP weekend, little farming runs along the way. Let's just say it's looking like it's going to cost at least around 20 million for about 2 million Herblore XP next weekend. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
I'd say that's a good thing.
Okay. And I mean here's my problem with it. Well, two problems. The first one is it only cost me around 75 million to get 99 Herblore way back when in 08 or something like that. Though factoring in inflation, I guess maybe that's not a fair argument. But secondly, I mean, the Grand Exchange just doesn't update fast enough. The price it says on the Grand Exchange is often not the price you end up paying because it's just moves so slow. So I guess if I could have one rant this week, it would be that the Grand Exchange needs to update faster. And basically allow me to see what I'm going to be spending on these Herblore supplies without needing to, you know, buy test one of each item and see if it's working. But yeah. Anyways, that's just minor. We will be back next week to discuss the week's RS updates and, of course, what we missed that wasn't live streamed at RuneFest, namely the skilling presentation and the lore presentation. So with that being said, this has been RSBNB Update covering RuneFest 2016 with Mr. Bistro. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And also, once again, a huge thank you to those of you guys out there from Clan Quest who took the time to chat with me and fill me in and fill us in on what happened at RuneFest and your thoughts on it. And we will see you all next week. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Bye.